What's going on, guys? You are now listening to the Lean Dad Podcast for dads who want to lose weight and become a healthy role model for their kids. I'm your host, Patrick Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here. Now, let's dive in, my friends. In today's episode, I had my buddy Nick Maytash on. He is an author and men's health coach. He primarily specializes in helping guys better navigate their emotional intelligence, their emotional well-being, especially as it applies to their romantic relationships with their wife, with their partner, with their families, and how that affects their own well-being, not only physical, but mental, emotional, their financial, business-related health. So we had a lot of fun with this one. He and I spent quite a bit of time just talking about the stereotypical male dynamic that many of us guys tend to live within, in feeling like our only role in this world is to be providers and to be physical specimens. And we dove a little deep into the wide dimension and breadth of experience and emotionality that we as men have and need to create space for in creating a better understanding of how our emotions need to be given space so we can better understand them, so we can better interpret them, as opposed to just going our entire lives compartmentalizing them and stowing them away. A good analogy he brought up in the episode is talking about the difference between slowly letting the air out of a balloon or just letting air continue to build up and build up and build up in a balloon until it eventually pops. I thought that was a really helpful analogy in regards to us as men doing a better job of managing our emotions and understanding our emotions and how they ultimately affect our physical, our mental, our spiritual well-being. So this was a really, really helpful episode, especially as it applies to many of you guys that I have the privilege of working with and getting a better understanding of how, well, maybe exercise isn't the first route. Maybe hiring a personal trainer is not the first initial route that you need to be taking when it comes to improving your well-being, when it comes to losing weight. It might be worth taking that route of navigating your emotions, hiring a coach, say like Nick, and being able to better understand that and look at your life and look at everything ahead of you through a much more clear, focused lens. So this may get a few of you guys uncomfortable, but it's for good reason, and it's because I love y'all. Your emotions are real. Create space for them, because there's a beautiful life to be lived as a result of better understanding the many emotions that we experience. Let's dive in. Let's get educated. Let's have fun. Live and direct, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, everybody. I hope everybody listening is having a wonderful day as they are tuning in. Today, or rather for today's podcast episode, I've got my buddy Nick Maytash, right? Did I get it? Yeah, cool.
You did.
I nailed it. Sweet. I was worried I was going to butcher it. But yeah, I got my buddy Nick. He's an author and men's health coach on today's episode of the Lean Dad Podcast. What's going on, Nick? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I've been looking forward to our conversation and eager to see where this thing goes. So I appreciate you having me on.
Sure. No problem, man. So, we just got done, we're doing another episode with a buddy of mine by the name of Jay. He's a musical artist. And what I'm really interested in doing with some of these, these coach's corner series, one of which that we're recording here today, is just, I'm definitely going down this path as a health professional that obviously my roots are in the fitness space, kind of the conventional gym space, and just starting to really identify and understand that I, and obviously you're part of that equation as well, are part of a very ever evolving space when it comes to coaching people. And in this case, primarily coaching men, and how, yep, there are so many extra layers of need in my opinion when it comes to actually coaching somebody through their health. Obviously a lot of guys come to me, they're wanting to lose weight, they're wanting to look better, all this kind of stuff, but as time has gone on, I've been doing this for a decade, and I'm going to be really interested to get your, you know, your story and your background for everybody listening. But like at the end of the day, I think where there's so much overlap between what I do and what you do is the emotionality of the journey and how, and I'm speaking through my own experience and on behalf of many, you know, possibly many other men who just don't know any better or don't know yet as to emotional intelligence is really important. And it kind of, it kind of can help shape just about every dimension of your life. You know, my understanding is you primarily focus on coaching guys through their emotionality as it applies to their relationship, you know, their intimate romantic relationships. But I just see so much, just an incredible amount of overlap in that as it ties to what I, what I'm trying to help my male clients with. And I think, I just think a lot of people, and in this case, a lot of guys, don't have a true understanding of how their emotions play such a role in just their overall well-being. Like in my realm, obviously it's to their performance and their weight loss and all that kind of stuff, but they're, none of that stays in a box. It doesn't just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm going to manage this so I can get healthier for my, you know, so I look good, better naked or I perform better. It's like, no, that, that follows you wherever you go. And that's where I see it bleeding over into what you do in helping guys manage and better. And you're obviously going to better describe it than, describe it much better than possibly I am in helping them manage and learn and articulate their own emotions when it comes to their relationships. So with this episode, I'm just interested in just kind of riffing with you and helping kind of just add more dimension, add more depth to making sure guys know that there's so many different avenues to get help. It doesn't always have to be through coming to me and then wanting me to just exercise their lives away in order for them to solve something that could maybe more easily be solved by another professional such as yourself, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think to what you're saying, you're absolutely right. There's, if you think about all these different areas of life that we operate in, our health and fitness, our relationships, our business, anything, if it was a big Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap with mindset, with emotional intelligence. Like those two things for me are just, they're everywhere. And to the point of us both working with men, I often say to guys, like, one of the biggest things or, you know, main obstacles that you have is the thing that you were told to ignore the most. Because as boys turning into men, like the emotional part of who we are, it was just taught, told, demonstrated, this is not valuable to you. Your job is to go make money. Your job is to be a physical specimen. Your job is to go and do things that your emotions are going to, quote unquote, get in your way. So it's best to ignore them, shut them down, shut that valve off within you. And it just, it robs so many people, guys especially, of being able to navigate certain areas of life where emotional intelligence is required. Like you said, I work mainly with men who are in relationships, husbands and fathers, and they're trying to figure that out. But if you have no emotional intelligence or awareness or any of that, when you're trying to relate to your wife or to your husband, it doesn't matter who is in that container, emotions are a part of it. Relating to your kid, emotions are a part of it. These, I have two kids, one 3.5, one 10 months. They are these little emotional creatures. And if you don't speak their language, you are a foreigner in their world. You're going to feel like you're an outsider there. And when you come to your health and fitness side of things too, like emotions are a huge part of that as well. Like there's just so much overlap. That a story that I tell about, you know, health and fitness and emotions being related for myself is I am also a teacher by trade. I come from the world of education, and there was a school that I went and taught at once. I had moved away from my hometown to be with my wife, my now wife, and this school that I signed up with to move, make that move, I was grateful that they allowed me to make that move in terms of being able to have a job in this new location, new city I moved to, but the work hours were so crazy. I just didn't have any left in the tank at the end of the day to go and work out. So for like 4, 5, 6 months, I didn't go exercise at all. And I, you know, I was an athlete growing up. I played baseball and hockey. And like the day that I stopped playing baseball, I went and got my first gym membership. I always had this continual outlet to some kind of physical movement. And usually it was strength training in some fashion. And for that 4 or 5 month window, I was just like reeling from not being able to access that. And I was so grateful that I was now living with my girlfriend who now has become my wife. And all of that stuff was great. But at the same time, there was this part of me that just, I needed that outlet. I needed that space to go and release some stress and release some tension in my body and be able to kind of move through some emotions with my physical body. And that's, you know, that part for me is so intertwined, because when I left that job, I had more space in my day to get back in the gym. And I felt so amazing after a month back in it. You know, my routine was back in place. I was able to spend more time with my wife and be present there because I wasn't so foggy brained and kind of all over the place. So it's just, you're right. There's so much overlap, and it's really a shame that with the way that, you know, our culture kind of raises boys into men, that they kind of tell them to push that part of them down. And when you get into manhood, you get into being a husband and being a father and being a businessman, like, uh-oh, you need to know how to do the stuff. It's part of who you are. And if you are, you know, foreign to it, you're going to have to figure out that learning curve. And that's kind of where I come in with most of my guys, is I give them that language that they've been lost in. That, yeah, there was one client that I had that said to me, he said, oh, what was his exact words? He said, the only emotions I know are happy and sad. And I was like, wow, okay. Like, it's this wide breadth of emotional experience that humans experience, but the only two things that he had to label it with, no, happy, sad, and angry. Mm-hmm. So the only way he could label it was happy, sad, and angry. I'm like, okay, so it kind of just gave me clarity into what I help guys with, it, which is there's more here than just the extremes. There's more here than just the stuff that you, you know, would see in like a kid's book, happy and sad and angry or whatever. Like there's more here. And if you understand it to a certain depth, you can really start to move through life in a more enjoyable way, but also a more effective way, because you're navigating it and processing things along the way rather than being confused when you're overwhelmed or shaming yourself when you feel anxious, because you're not supposed to feel anxious. You're a guy. Keep moving, keep going, keep grinding. And it's just with more emotional intelligence, everything gets easier. It's just a matter of like having the courage to see that that's the thing that you need to work on, instead of, mm-hmm. you know, going to learn how to scale your business to six figures or learning how to bench press 300 pounds. Like, these things are cool. They're great. There's nothing wrong with them inherently. But if you think that that's going to heal you, you're wrong. It's just that's the nature of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's helpful that you bring that up, because I think it speaks to my own journey through, we'll just call it my well-being. You know, because I'm getting to a place where I'm getting more and more tired of our well-being being defined through that of just solely the physical realm of what I can do. Again, granted, I'll provide some context. I come from a more extreme end of the spectrum, to where it's like my well-being for the longest time was solely contingent upon my ability to exercise and exercise rigorously, it primarily like in my early and my mid 20s. And I think about how there came a point in time where, like, for instance, okay, so my early 20s, I got heavy, really heavy into all natural bodybuilding for like 3 years. And it's really interesting now that I'm in my 30s, or more so like in my late 20s and my early 30s now, I've been able to look back and like, I don't regret doing that and doing those things, but it was like, I lived in the gym, but it was very much a trauma response. Like, I'd gone through a very, at the time, like a rather traumatic breakup with a girl that I loved, and I had no clue how to process any, like you're talking about, is very much on this very polarizing continuum of, okay, I'm either angry, happy, or sad. Like that was it. That was all that was available to me. So, that was my only outlet to go kind of vent that. But as time went on, and as I started learning more, obviously, about myself and how to continue to better coach clients, you get a better understanding, or I started gaining a better understanding of, this is so much more, there's so much more context and there's so much more nuance to this, that I started realizing I need to back off. And I understand I come from a different place than a lot of guys, but like I started realizing I need to actually back off of the exercise to as high of a degree as I was doing it, and start focusing on other modalities and other strategies that would help me, flex that muscle of emotionality and create space to actually know what the fuck it feels like to be sad, and what it feels like to just feel like shit, or to be bored, or, you know what I mean? And I'm learning as I go. I'm very much far from perfect. But as time has gone on, coming from that space, it's just been a new stage in navigating that with clients, and seeing that I feel like guys through exercise constantly are trying to just freaking jam a square peg in a round hole when it comes to, like you're talking about, some of the deeper things that they maybe don't even know that they need help with. And they feel like it's like putting a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery. So like they're coming to me to get help with their weight loss, but they don't even know that there are deeper levels as to why their state of being is where it's at. So they come to me and they want me to push them hard through a workout or something super restrictive, on top of the fact that they've told me that they're in physical pain. And I've continued to learn that, okay, not only are you in physical pain, but you're probably in some amount of mental and emotional pain that you're trying to cover up through the exercise that's putting you in more physical and emotional pain. And just kind of staying on that hamster wheel. And I feel like as time goes on, tying into what I was talking about earlier, I just feel like the definition of what and who a coach is, at least in my world, and I'm sure you're experiencing it in yours, because we've talked about it a little bit, is evolving, because there's so much overlap. And part of why I have this podcast put together is just so people can know that there are other outlets than just coming to me. And you know, granted, I'll continue to build systems out to help support them in whatever ways that I can, but it's like, I'm not going to do the work that a physical therapist is going to do. I'm not going to do the work that a therapist or a counselor is going to do. I'm not going to, at this point in time, I'm not going to do the work that you're going to do. So I think a lot of guys can get really confused, or maybe they don't know any better. And this is what you touched on, is they're constantly coming to a place of solving their problems, or trying to feel like, or feeling like they're solving their problems by always doing something physical. And
that's what I was going to say. Like, it's, if you were to think about it, if a guy were to try to unconsciously solve his problem, he's going to reach for the thing that's most familiar. Mm-hmm. And what we have been kind of raised on is, we're physical specimens. We are here to lift things and put them down. We're here to go out and, you know, quote unquote, hunt, as all the alphas would love to say on Instagram. But like, it's a very physically natured message that we get as men. So like, okay, what's the closest thing that I can access that feels like some kind of transformation or change? So, you know, health and fitness seems like the right one. And it's a great place to start. It's a good, like, we don't want to reject and say like, you shouldn't be here.
Right.
But there's often going to be a place in time where at some point they're either going to hit a plateau, or they're going to get to a place that they lose all the weight, right? And they look great, but they still feel like shit. Fuck. Okay. What's the thing then? What's the thing? And it's just it's a part of their journey to kind of get there. I think the biggest thing is, like you said, is to help them understand that maybe the gym is not your first stop. Maybe there's other stops that you need to entertain before you go to the gym. And at some point you'll end up at the gym because it is all connected. It's all working together. Nobody is going to be, you know, emotionally fit and on point without having some kind of physical routine for themselves where they can move their body and have a place. Because I mean, your emotions can be released and expressed and processed by moving your body. Like that's an excellent way to play with that. You know, it doesn't have to just be done in a journal or on a meditation pillow. Like in the gym, especially for men, it can be a great release, or even just doing some yoga. I love doing yoga for the purposes of just kind of letting my body move through some stuff. But yeah, just giving guys that awareness that there's something else available to you without having them go down this 6 month, year long, you know, 3 year long journey of trying to lose weight so they feel better about themselves. It's crazy important because some guys definitely don't need to go to the gym first. It could be maybe the third or fourth stop on their journey. But it's just, I don't think they have much awareness to that being the thing that they need to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you 1000%. And this is where something I continually think about when it comes to providing this greater depth and spectrum for people is, okay, let's really zoom out here. Let's look at the long-term vision. It is a matter of if we are fortunate enough, it is a matter of when, not if, that we are going to grow older and grow old to the point to where our physical capabilities are not going to be the same as they are or as they were when we were in our 20s, our 30s, 40s, what have you. Like we are going to be limited through movement at some point in time. So it would be a good idea to start sooner rather than later in focusing on your mind, focusing on your emotionality and gaining a better understanding of that space. Because I feel like I see it very often. I think a lot of people and a lot of guys can use exercise as a means to just completely like compartmentalize stuff as well. Because like, if that's the only means and only avenue of your own emotional and mental release, I tend to see that as a little bit of a warning flag, because it's like, well, what if you get injured? You're going to get injured and you're going to be laid up. And I see it all the time. They get injured. Well, they haven't built out enough of a contingency plan of taking care of these other aspects of their well-being. So whenever they are injured and they are immobile, they've got other tools to pull out of their tool chest to make sure that they're able to navigate that space. And the two areas I think about are getting injured and getting older and not being able to do those things. And this is where I just see a lot of guys just perpetuate this really, really unsustainable cycle of just going to the same place of, okay, if I'm going to exercise, it's got to be, I'm going to just grind it out. I'm going to push all the time because that's all I know. And it's that zero to kind of 100 approach as opposed to just, yeah, like you're saying, working on stopping at these different, we'll call them rest stops along the way of this road trip, and exercise being one of many, because there is going to be a point in time where the physicality of your own venting and you could say emotional regulation is not going to be around forever. And it's going to be really important to have something else that you can turn to be able to best manage that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's like being a carpenter or a contractor and only bringing a hammer to the job. Mm-hmm. And like, that's for a while, like you can be sore, you can just bring that hammer and slap it around and you're fine. But yeah, if you get hurt or if you age or, God forbid you get in like a car accident or something and you can't use your legs for a bit or forever, like there are things that come about that are going to take away that only thing that you have been using. So it's important to have as many tools as you can. And honestly, just asking a guy to sit still is like asking them to offer their firstborn. It's so crazy to me. And I'm not saying that I can sit still for hours on end, because I think that I'm human as well. And I also am a husband and father, and juggling all of these things. You know, I have this business, I have a job. There's all this stuff that sitting still can be a challenge, but it has to be a practice, right? Like mm-hmm. meditating consistently so that you know where that peace and calm can be. But so many of my clients, they'll come through and like, oh, I got this and this and this. And like, why don't you just sit still for 15 minutes? I can't afford those 15. Like, that is where that extra tool comes in, because even in that context, that let's say meditating for 15 minutes, that can, when practiced, be as beneficial to your emotional regulation as going to the gym for an hour. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about efficiency and effectiveness, cool. Meditation can be a more effective way if we're talking about time constraints, but it's asking somebody to sit still. Somebody that's been wired to keep moving, keep going, keep pushing, keep grinding. And it's this paradox of being able to unplug from the conditioning and the narrative of what they have been told and what they think is the way, and what is manly and what is the utmost and respectable way to be healthy. It's like, no, man, there's more to it than this. And like, your job wouldn't exist, my job wouldn't exist if everybody had it all figured out. Like, that's just, it's just the way that it is. And the more tools guys have, the better off they will be. Unfortunately, some guys just aren't going to be convinced until there is that moment where they get injured at the gym. You can't go and deadlift for 6 months. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Now I have to, it's like, I'm forced to figure out a different path. I'm more about the, like, let's be proactive here. Not because there's doomsday coming and we need to be prepared for it. Proactive just because there are a multitude of ways to experience life and feel healthy within that just, it doesn't have to be the gym 6 days a week. Like, I used to be a guy that went to the gym 5 or 6 days a week. I might go 3 days a week now, mm-hmm. or I'll do yoga in between those days. Like, I'll find a way to move my body most days. But, you know, I have a wife, I have two small children, I have a business, I have a job. Like, there's so many different things that are moving in my life. I don't want to go to the gym 6 days a week, five mm-hmm. days a week. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, I've gotten to that place of awareness that I don't need to. If I wanted to, could I? I could make the time for it, I'm sure. But it's just because I have these other tools, I understand that it's not super necessary for me to be healthy and live the life that I want to live. And I think there's a lot of men just trapped in that box that it has to be this way of this physical expression of health, quote unquote, that if I don't do that, then I'm doing it wrong. And I'm just so glad that there are guys like you in the physical health space that are kind of bringing this energy of like, yeah, we're not going to smash our face into the wall 6 days a week and call that health. We're going to be more holistic and make sure that we're doing some of these other modalities so that it's not just about the, you know, balancing your macros and, you know, hitting this particular weight at the gym. If it's just about the numbers and the measurables, there's all that stuff that is human in between that isn't being touched. And that is unfortunate. So I'm really glad that you're doing what you're doing, because I can see and feel from the stuff that you put out that it's not just about that. And it's freaking needed out there for guys to see that it's not just about these things.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Absolutely. Happy to do it. You know, it obviously, to a major extent, just stems from I'm continuing to navigate my own health and my own well-being and trying to find ways to make the aging process as pleasant and as graceful as humanly possible. And I've got a lot of experience, especially when I was working in person training clients. I've got a lot of experience training older men, you know, that were in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and most of which were so resistant to anything outside of something that was really, really physical in the gym, even though they were full of, like, they just didn't function properly physically. And it's it's very apparent that more dimension needs to be added, so guys know that they have different avenues to turn to. And, you know, I've a few episodes earlier, I had a buddy of mine who's a physical therapist, and just helping give people an understanding of, like, your movement lies on a continuum, and you're not, it's, you put it really well. It's like, you got to have more tools, a more diverse tool set than that of just a hammer. And it'll make your life more fun as a result. One thing I'm interested in getting your perspective on, you know, cause we're talking about men kind of being lumped in this category of just, okay, you just produce your physical specimen and that's pretty much it. Like, it's just a very, very strict on off switch. And I think about, from a historical and an evolutionary perspective, you know, as, like, the definition of a man is always going to change. I think, as well as, you know, definition of a woman, definition of just a human being is going to evolve as the world continues to change. I think that is inevitable. But what really sparks a lot of my intrigue is, obviously, it's a balance, right? And I think this is where you're going to really come in, because you're more versed in this. But, like, one thing I think a lot about, or think about a lot, is how, okay, you take the time to go back multiple generations and think about what the world was going through at those times, as far as, okay, you look at, like, World War II era or World War I era, or even before that, to where it's just like, in order, I guess, that kind of, I don't want to call it stigma, but that typical male-female stereotype, and I'm just bringing this up as a means of conversation, not trying to drive down a point, but these typical stereotypes, it's hard not to acknowledge the positive aspects of them in order for us to get to where we are at as a society today, if that makes sense, as far as the on-off switch of, like, okay, men being producers and men being the grit, and women being more of more emotionally inclined. Obviously, this is new territory for me, and I'm interested to get educated by you, but is that something is what I'm saying making sense at all? You know, help me better articulate it.
I think so. So you're saying, like, if we look back a couple of generations, the very masculine, feminine, the what we would call masculine, feminine roles or energy were pretty much set in stone. The guy's going to go make the money. The woman's going to take care of the kids. That's like, it's almost like it still happens today, but there's women that are working and all of that stuff. But back then it was just like, that's how it was for 90% of that.
And
I was saying, like, that's how it was. And it has created momentum towards where we are. So trying to dismiss it would be like, we can't forfeit its value because it's gotten us to where we are.
Right. And I think about that going even farther back to, and again, I'm not educated on this matter, but, like, okay, our ancestors, you know, before we were even able to speak, and all we could do was physical labor in order to get to where we wanted to go. It was just like, okay, I feel like we're in this stage of finding a balance of these elements that, okay, many, many, many years ago were applicable or more applicable during that time, as opposed to them being as applicable during this time, because obviously we're living through a much different day and age.
Right, for sure. I mean, I think it's a, so I kind of put this in the context of parenting, at least this is how I've kind of wrapped my mind around it as I've become a dad, is that, you know, there are so many things that my parents did well. I turned out to be a pretty decent human being. Same thing with my wife. She's a great human being. Love her to death. But there's also some things that they did poorly. And it wasn't because they were intentionally trying to. It was they were flawed human beings that learned from flawed human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's just how we all are, like, generation to generation. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's figuring it out. And I didn't realize how much my parents were figuring it out until I became a parent. And I looked at myself and then kind of in my parents' shoes at that same age, like, holy shit, you didn't know anything, because that's how I feel. So like the point I'm trying to make is it's acknowledging that where we've come from taught us a lot, but they weren't the golden standard, and that every generation's job is to be open about what was good and let go of what was bad and try to find a better way. Because I think that some people, in terms of this masculine feminine dynamic that you kind of started the conversation or the this point with, is that I'm like thinking of that typical alpha dude on social media that's like, a man just needs to be a man. We need to go back to those roots of being rugged and all that stuff. They think that by changing the definition of manhood or changing the definition of what it used to be called as a feminine being or a woman, like that's making it worse. And my argument is, we're not trying to change men to make them worse or vice versa with women. We're trying to take what was good and add in more good stuff and let go of the bad stuff. And to the extent of kind of what our conversation has been about, the good stuff has been like, I think it's a beautiful thing that I get to provide for my family. I think it's a beautiful thing to be that protector and the extension of safety for my family. Like these are roles that I cherish because I love being that person for my family. But in the past, that was also paired with, that means no emotional resonance. That means no emotional awareness. You don't have to worry about those things because that's kind of what your wife's going to take care of for the family. She's going to be the emotional being in this. That's the part for me that I'm like, okay, there's these beautiful things, but there's also some stuff we need to get rid of. Because what happens to men who don't have access to their emotional self and are completely unaware of what's going on within them, they have physical illness, they have mental health issues and illness. They have all of these things that they don't understand that they're carrying with them. And in years past, it was just kind of the nature of being a man. You just carry it with you. You just keep going. You just go.
Right.
And there's got to be a point where you look at some of the statistics that are there for mental health and for suicide and look at how skewed it is for men dying by suicide versus women. Like, it's no mistake that guys have been choking down their emotions for generations. And here we are in 2021 and guys die by suicide at a clip of like 3.8-1 compared to women. And they do so by far more lethal ways and more aggressive ways when they do. We're talking like gunshots, like hanging themselves, things like that. Things that are more, instead of, well, we don't have to get into the details of that, but the point is that's kind of the piece of the old guard that needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
The choking down the emotion, the ignoring of it, the bypassing of it. So what I'm trying to communicate to men is like, we can be the protectors and providers. I want to be that. I am that. But we can also be emotional. We can also dance in what some might call the feminine energy to express our emotions and be with them and allow them to come through us. Because when we do, we're healthier. And when we talk about being a protector and a provider, I can be a more effective protector and provider when I'm mentally and emotionally strong. When I say strong, I don't mean tough. I mean, I have expressed things that need to be expressed. I'm more effective. I'm here and present. And I am aware of what's going on around me because I'm not bogged down by all the bullshit that I thought I was supposed to carry with me. Like an example of this would be when I was first a dad to my daughter, Lucy. She was a very colicky baby and she did not sleep very well. She was always crying. It was very stressful for my wife and I. And I, you know, this is, let's see, she's 3.5. So this is a few years ago. I wasn't as evolved or understanding of all this stuff as I am now because I've been doing the work for that long. But I kind of carried that unconscious weight of I'm the man here. So I need to just kind of keep going and keep going and keep going. And I remember one night I was trying to rock her, or one early morning, it was like 4:30 in the morning, trying to rock her back to bed. She would usually get up and I was kind of the early bird of the two of us. So I would take care of her in the morning, rock her back to sleep and then head off to work or whatever. And she just wasn't going down. like every time I put her down in her crib, she would just bawl her eyes out, and it would just like, I could feel the tension rising in my body as I'm trying to take care of this small little baby who's like not doing it to piss me off. She's just a colicky baby, right? Mm-hmm. So after a while of trying to do this, I tapped my wife and I said, I'm sorry, I can't get her down. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm getting a little frustrated and I just need to take a break. Can you step in? So she graciously steps in. I go downstairs into our kitchen and I just like got a glass of water. I'm like, I'm just going to take a breather. I'm going to be fine. Whatever. I take a deep breath and I lost it. Like I was fetal position crying in mm-hmm. the middle of my kitchen. And it was like this release of 3 months worth of emotional tension that I'd been carrying with me. And it was so interesting to me in two ways. Like one, it was just vomit. It wasn't something that I said, I need to get this out of me. It just came out of me as this involuntary response. And after I was done with that and kind of collected myself, I felt so amazing. And it sounds strange to say out loud, but I had just gotten rid of all of this stuff that I'd been carrying with me. And, you know, I went back upstairs and I was kind of like laughing to myself, essentially. And my wife's like, are you okay? you left this room kind of stir crazy and look like you're on the edge. And like, now you're just chill. So I'm like, honestly, I feel great. I had a little cry session. It's a good cry. But like it showed me the value of the expression and how much more valuable I can be to my family when I'm actually doing that actively instead of waiting 3 months at a time to have a breakdown and then get it out and then go through. So, you know, back to the point of like that whole idea of taking the good and leaving behind the stuff that doesn't make sense anymore. For me in this, you know, this world of being a masculine man or whatever, cool. Protect, provide, do all that stuff. But also pair with that, processing your emotions, understanding your emotions, because I promise you, you're going to be a far, far more effective husband and father when you're moving through that stuff more actively, rather than waiting a year, 3 months, 7 years, whatever, until you burst. I kind of liken it to letting air out of the balloon versus popping it. You know, if you're actively processing your emotions, if you're thinking about and feeling into whatever's going on, whether it be overwhelm from work, overwhelm at home, anxiety about what the next 6 months hold for your family, if you're sitting with that and allowing it to be there without judging it and just saying, okay, I'm going to move through, I'm going to figure it out. If you're doing that more actively, you're letting air out of the balloon. It's this gradual experience. It's not abrasive. It's not going to hurt anybody, whatever. But if you just let that pressure build up for 6 months, a year, 5 years, whatever, and then that thing pops, now you're on the floor in pieces, and your family, who you wanted to take care of, and that was your mission, they have to pick you up. Mm-hmm. Now you're a burden, and you don't want to do that. So I, in terms of like optimizing the human experience, what I'm calling men to do is like, yeah, do all the things that we used to do in terms of that providership and that protectorship, but make sure that you are opening your heart and seeing what's in there and not acting like it's not for you, because it absolutely is. And you can be far more effective at the stuff you want to be effective at if you allow that to be a part of the game too.
Right. Well, yeah, it ties into, this all comes down to, it's a human experience. It's not male, it's not female. It's just like, it is what it is. And there's nothing wrong with taking the time to acknowledge what you're going through. And I like that analogy you draw as far as slowly letting the air out of a balloon, as opposed to letting it just continue to build and build and build, because that's when you just start seeing all of those negative health effects come around, not only to, you know, the guy himself, but to where you start making your way into this habit of having your partner and your kids be your means of regulating your own emotions, as opposed to you being able to regulate your own. And I think it's important for guys to have a better understanding of, there's just more dimension to who we are as human beings than just that binary of, or that, you know, that triangle, you could say, of, okay, happy, sad, angry. Like that's all, like if those were the three different food items that you had to choose from for the entirety of your life, you'd get bored pretty quick. You'd want a variety of foods to choose from and to have knowledge of. And I think it's important for guys to have that understanding when it comes to giving themselves permission to just experience an emotion and to experience a feeling and create space for it. So it's not this mysterious kind of experience for them. It's something that is familiar, and then it makes it that much easier to hand that knowledge down to your children. And that's where, cause I did an episode on what I call generational health, to where it's like, it's really our job as just adults to do the best we can and being conscious of, like what you're talking about, seeing what our parents did really well, seeing what our parents maybe didn't do as well, and also acknowledging, like, well, big surprise, they're human. We're all flawed individuals. And making a conscious effort to adjust all of those habits that we have to do the best we can to hand down the best we can to our next generation, our children. And that's how you really start to change generational habits when it comes to emotional intelligence, your exercise behaviors, your patterns of behavior around your eating, your coping mechanisms, all that kind of stuff, as to just making it a more, I almost want to say just more level playing field for our kids and those that we hand that information and those habits down to. It's an obligation, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you know, the most of the guys that I work with, they want to build a legacy, right? And they focus, they just, you know, zoom right in on, I want to make a lot of money so that I can give my kid the leg up in their finances, so they'll be taken care of for those purposes, right? So that they can go to college if they want to or whatever. And I respect that, but there's nothing wrong with it. But there's just these so many other dimensions to what we want to hand down. It's not just the financial aspect of what they're going to get into. And, you know, my wife and I were talking the other day when it comes to, like, you know, emotional awareness and mental health and all that stuff. There are things that in the past are, let's say, taboo, and I want to normalize for my kids. I want to make them as normal as possible. So, you know, my 3.5-year-old, she definitely has, like, little pieces of anxiety. You can see it. Like, sometimes she worries about going to her preschool. She doesn't like fire alarms and all that stuff. Like, she has some sensory stuff that we're trying to kind of navigate and figure out as her parents and also for her. But my wife and I kind of put it on the table, like, maybe we should just proactively send our kids to therapy, like, whenever it feels like the right age, let's say 5 years old. Let them start going to therapy fairly routinely so it's normalized. Because if you were to, let's say, even ask my parents, you know, or tell my parents, oh, we're sending Lucy to therapy, they would respond with, well, what's wrong with her? Like, thinking that therapy is this thing that you're going to fix something with, right? I want for my kids to see that being proactive and having discussions about how you're feeling and what you're thinking about is not something that we're doing reactively. We're not doing it when life gets hard. We're building up the skill set and the tool set so that when life does eventually and inevitably kick you in the crotch, like, you have something to lean on. You know, there's so many of us that just didn't have any tools, and neither did our parents. And that's why we didn't have tools. But, like, I know I have tools now because I've worked on it. Mm-hmm. And my wife has tools too, because she grew up as an anxious kid. She's gone to therapy as well. Like, we don't want our kids to just figure that out on their own. There's a more proactive way to kind of hand down some of that knowledge by allowing them to have access to it before there's trauma or before there's something that they need to navigate. So, like, even little things like that, I think, are crucial, because it's about improving their experience, trying to do better than we had it. And it's, again, no slight to my parents or my in-laws or whatever. They both did a great job. But I want to do better, and I want my kids to do better than we did. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point, is to optimize the human race. And that comes down to, what are you doing in your house, and how are you improving the experience based on what you have? And a lot of men especially take that and contextualize it to, that means I need to make more money than my parents did so I can hand down more money to my next kid. And again, nothing wrong with that. That's great. But what are they going to do with the money? How are they going to live their life with that money that you want to hand down? Are you giving them those tools as well? Because that's just as important, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, I think about, yeah, there, no one would bat an eye if you told them you were taking your kids to, you know, a private coach or whatever for skiing or mountain biking right. or baseball or whatever. But right. when it comes to the psychological element of things, it's a completely different ball game. But I completely agree with you, and I commend you for contemplating that and doing with it how you see fit, because it's an area of our well-being that needs to be developed and normalized. I went a decade knowing that it probably would have benefited me to go to a counselor and go talk to a therapist from 19 to, it was almost a decade. So I think it was from age 19 to age about 28. So it was almost 10 years that I had gone where I was just like, not so much. And then it reached a point where it was like, okay, yeah, I need to go do this. And I can't even imagine how much time and energy and strain I would have saved myself if I had just decided to go and do it. But again, it was something that I kind of had to implement myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm glad you made the choice to go find whatever you needed.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
It's crazy that, well, one, you had the awareness, right? Whether it be in reflection or not, but you had the awareness and you still didn't do anything about it, maybe because of perceived judgment, maybe for other reasons, I don't know. But, you know, if we can normalize that conversation of taking care of that part of us proactively instead of reactively, there's just so much to say about prevention of these things. And it goes with physical health too. I know that everybody not everybody, but there are people that are just like done with Western medicine. They don't want to, like, they're creating problems to fix the problems and all of that stuff. Preventative medicine is powerful. Health, exercise, all that stuff is part of that. And I think to parallel that to the mental and emotional world, that preventative gift of having some tools to navigate life when life inevitably gets challenging is huge.
Couldn't agree more, man. Could not agree more. So fill us in, or fill everybody in, as to how they can get in contact with you. You run a couple different programs. You run the Evolved Man mentorship, and you've got a couple other things, right? If I remember correctly.
Well, it has been a season of change the last 6 months. So we've kind of shut down the membership, and we don't have that anymore. I'm really just exclusively working with guys one-on-one. So I work with guys one-on-one, and that kind of is just a natural conversation that will happen in being in contact with me through social media, essentially. But one main hub that a lot of guys can find me and kind of be a part of the community with me is on Facebook. I have the Evolved Man Cave, which is obviously a play on words of the man cave, but hopefully in an evolved way, where we're doing live trainings every single week based on kind of the community's thoughts on what they need that week. And yes, I focus mainly on relationships with my guys, but it's not to say that that's the only thing we ever talk about. I think similar to what you probably experience with your niche of health and fitness, is you kind of start there, and then there's things that always come up that are not necessarily related. So there's definitely a breadth of conversation in there. So that's over on Facebook, and that's completely free, just to be a part of that community and kind of interact with some of the other guys that are in there. I have written a book a few years back called Moving Past Mediocre. And I tell the story of me breaking down in the kitchen in that book. So if you're ever looking for more detail, you can go grab that on Amazon. But those are the two main ways to kind of get to know me, is through that Facebook group, and obviously being my friend on Facebook or following me on Instagram, my name being Nick Maytash, and I will spell it because my name does not sound like it spells as Patrick has learned, but it's NickMatiash on both platforms. And if you find me on either, I'm there for a conversation. I'm there for sharing content that I think is valuable. And those are the simple ways to find me. And from there, the the conversations flow. And if it's something that is a mutual fit for me and someone that is looking to be supported by me, then we take it from there.
Absolutely. Cool. I'll be sure to include all of those links in the show notes for everybody to have access to. But yeah, man. So in closing, I always try to make it a point of asking people their input as to, in your words as a coach and in your thoughts, what would be your best piece of advice when it comes to somebody or a guy in this instance looking to get the ball rolling and start improving their health and well-being? What are your wise words of wisdom?
I mean, one, I think the first thing is, do your research. Doesn't sound genuine, but look around for people and connect with people that you get a good vibe with and can trust, and get someone to help you with your journey. I think that is essential to this. I think that there is a certain season for everybody where they're kind of figuring it out for themselves, whether it be in the physical world of getting their physical health in check, or their emotional health or whatever. I certainly had that season of my own, kind of diving into books and podcasts, and it's all well and good. You really can consume a lot and really understand more about yourself and what you want. But in terms of moving the needle, having someone in your corner, I think is by far the best thing I've ever done for myself. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I started hiring my own coaches. I wasn't a coach at that time for myself. I was just kind of sharing my thoughts on social media, and I had a blog at the time, and I didn't know where it was going to go, but I just kind of awakened parts of me that I didn't know were in there. And having an objective person look at who I was and say, there's a blind spot over here. You might want to try some stuff differently. It's so, so valuable. So to the guy out there that is kind of in this place of awareness that maybe you described, when you were in your 20s, where I could probably benefit from having someone in my corner. If there is any notion in any guy's brain that's something that's real for them, go online. Social media is a crazy place, but it's also a beautiful place to meet and connect with people and find someone that's just like a heart-centered connection that you feel good about. Not someone that has 80 million followers and probably won't even care if you pay them or not. Find someone that feels real to you, that feels true to you, that feels like they have walked the walk instead of just talk the talk, and reach out and get some support in your corner. Because once you have someone, whether it be in a group community where you have a bunch of people to lean on, or in a one-on-one fashion where there's continual conversation and some accountability to what you've been doing, I really think that what has felt like this very vague journey becomes more specific. It gets more intentional. I think intentional is the right word there. So that would be my piece of advice. Find somebody that you think you trust, and just take the risk, take the bet on yourself to get that support in your corner, because you don't have to marry that person and stay with them in terms of a coaching experience forever or a therapist experience forever, but it will kind of open this door for you that on the other side, you wouldn't be able to guess how amazing it can be if you find the right person and find the right program that kind of flips a few switches that you didn't know were there. So that would be my piece of advice.
Cool. I can dig that, man. Well, Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. Really, really enjoyed it. I think this is helpful information for everybody listening, because if we're wanting to get where we want to go in having a well-rounded, holistic well-being and healthy life, navigating one's emotions and why we behave the way we behave is going to be kind of integral. So very much appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us, man.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I was looking forward to the combo, and it did not disappoint. So I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, if what you heard today resonates with you and you'd like to continue the conversation, then I'd be happy to personally invite you to join our private Facebook community with countless other dads like yourself who are on this journey with you. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. Click the join button at the top of the page and you're good to go. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. And by the way, the link to the Facebook group is in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out. All right, my friends, that's it for today. In the meantime, love one another, take care of one another, and please, please, please be grateful for each other. Much love, my friends. Cheers. We'll be right back.